Beloved, the sermon text for today comes to us from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. This is the Epiphany story. It's chapter 2 of Matthew, the first 12 verses. May you hear the word that God has for you this day. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterward, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we've come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem, in Judea," they answered. "For this is what the prophet wrote, 'Bethlehem in the land of Judah, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judah, for from you will come a leader who will guide my people, Israel.'" So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: "Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know, so that I too may go and worship him." And so they left, and on their way they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were! What joy was theirs! It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and presented them to him. Then they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Wise men, Scripture tells us they are. What made them wise? What do we know about them? Well, we know they studied the stars. Why? I mean, the night sky fascinates me. I enjoy stargazing. It wasn't a hobby for those wise men, though. It wasn't a hobby for them. They were seeking. They were listening by looking. They studied the heavens, seeking messages from heaven. Beloved, that makes them wise. They studied the heavens seeking messages from heaven. And that seeking messages from heaven is what makes them wise. When we are seeking messages from heaven, when we want to hear what God has to say and we follow, we become wise. Where can we turn for messages from heaven? This book. Do you want to hear what God is saying to you, what God wants you to hear? Read this book. Those wise men from lands very distant from Israel did not have this book, not even the Jewish part of this book. We have to remember that Jews and Christians have much, of this book in common. We even drop it sometimes. Much of this book we share in common. We share the same foundational stories. In those times, the Jewish leadership interpreted the fact that other peoples did not have this book to mean that those other peoples were not God's people. We hear that we're all God's children, and that's not true. That's sentimentality, not Christianity. We are all God's creatures. This is true. People are all created in the image of God. This is true. God adopts as his children those who have faith in Jesus Christ. And I can tell you exactly where that is in Scripture if you're curious about it. This book also tells us that the time will come when the peoples of the earth will come and worship the one true God, God who has made himself known to his people, who makes himself known through this book, who makes himself known through Jesus Christ. The wise men come before Herod the king, saying that they have come to worship the one born to be king of the Jews. Well, King Herod was not aware that any of his sons had recently produced a grandson for him. The wise men saw the star of the newborn king, and they came to worship this cosmic infant. These three are not of the people of Israel. Hence, to the thinking of many in Jerusalem, these three are not of God's people, not heirs to the promise, not recipients of God's teaching outside of God's covenant. Those in charge held the foundational assumption that others cannot be God's people. That worldview is being turned on its head by these wise men, seeing the signs of God and following, listening, coming to worship, to praise the God of Israel, who is God, creator of the universe. Herod and the chief priests and the scribes, the experts in the law, God's teaching, instructions, they're swift enough to wonder if this visit and this message might have something to do with the Messiah. Although it seems they're also in disbelief. That old story? That legend? Surely not. The king and the priests and the scribes, those with political and religious authority, authority given to them by God to be exercised for the blessing and preservation of the people, king and pastors, theologians and scholars have over many years arranged things to their liking, to their advantage. Their views are authoritative. Their ways are the ways to which any decent, right-thinking human being must conform. Any deviation brings swift and sharp rebuke. They say what God wants, what God means, who God loves, and who God hates. They say. They have the power, and they mean to keep it. For whom? For God? I'd like to say so, but Scripture won't let me. Scripture gives me a different account. Rest assured, brothers and sisters, so soon as we get things arranged to our liking, to suit ourselves and to serve our interests, God will remind us whose interests we are here to serve. We were created for a purpose, beloved, and it's not to serve ourselves. When Herod asks, the priests and scribes can say with certainty where the Messiah will be born. We might not know there's a prophet, Micah, to whom God spoke of the Messiah and of Bethlehem. These experts can find this reference quickly enough. They hadn't forgotten it. Yet we do not hear that the priests and the scribes are already aware of his birth, or even that they take special interest in it. No delegation of priests or scribes or Pharisees rushes to Bethlehem with the wise men or even afterwards. The only ones who go are soldiers sent with orders to kill. You people of God have to watch out for many things in this life, among them us. We religious authorities, pastors, teachers, theologians, experts. Whose interests do we have at heart? Whose purposes are we serving? Is it clear that Scripture has authority over us, or do we exercise authority over Scripture? Another prophet, Malachi, spoke of how God would purify the priesthood, those who ministered before him, those who teach the people. May it be so. We recently heard from Micah. He was telling us that something very great would come from something very small. This is God's way. Who is Noah? Who is Abraham? Who was Moses? Who was David? They were not born of kings or men of political importance. They were not fabulously rich, savvy, or handsome, except for David, or successful, although Abraham did okay. They hadn't studied business or philosophy or psychology or physics or biology or engineering, not at Harvard or Yale or Stanford or anywhere else. They were experts in nothing. They were small, alone, and insignificant. Only they weren't. Do you know why they weren't? Because they had God. God claimed them, revealed his purpose to them, and commissioned them to serve his purposes. He blessed them, empowered them, taught them great things from the very small, the lowly, the insignificant in the world's eyes. Great things through God, for God. Something very great from something very small. That's an epiphany message. The wise men go to worship the baby. This is a message for the elders whom we will momentarily be ordaining to office in the Church of Jesus Christ. And it's also a communion message. Elders elect, we have not called you to office. God has called you. In a mysterious way, God is making it known that now is the time for you to be set apart in a special way, to serve in a special way. This ordination is not a temporary matter. Your ordination won't come to an end 3 years from now. As we understand it, ordination is for life. Hence, all able ruling elders will come and join us right up here in a moment. Something very great from something very small. What is a bit of bread? What is a sip of juice? By themselves, this bread and this juice are truly nothing. Inconsequential. By Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, this bread and this juice become the sure signs of the benefits of Christ's sacrifice. Here is grace, love, peace, reconciliation, redemption, power, righteousness, life for us. We Christians are a strange lot, thank God. All that in this? All that in this? Herod and the religious experts were thinking, hearing of this baby born to who? In Podunk? All that in this marveled the wise men as they beheld him. All that in this, our holy, eternal, infinite God invites us to ponder, to feel, to live, to share as we partake and give thanks and are filled. Now to the one who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or imagine. To God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.